I mean, you'd have, as a player, a pretty significant heads up, I would imagine, at least a bit of a period of time to get your life in order and get set to adjust and make a move. It's kind of like getting traded without getting traded out of the franchise. What was life like moving from Hartford to Carolina 23 years ago?
Well, it was pretty interesting. We didn't really know where the team was headed. We were told near the end of the season there was a meeting with our ownership, and we were told that the franchise would be moving. But at that time, we thought we were moving to Columbus, and that's sort of what we were told. And then all of a sudden, another couple weeks or a month later, we heard pretty well through the news that the team was moving to Carolina. So it was, it was an interesting time. Everybody started to, look at the Carolina area, what it was all about. None of us had ever really been there or knew much. And then the next thing you knew, you were down there looking for a place to live.
How confusing was that whole transition, though? Because the team was supposed to go to Raleigh, but they had issues with the rink. And then some players were moving to Greensboro, but most were driving because they got places near Raleigh, right?
Everybody lived in Raleigh. Yeah, it was a very unique situation. It for 2 years, it was, I guess you'd say you played 82 road games. A lot of players, myself included, would drive down the night before and stay in a hotel. And then the morning, you didn't have a morning skate. You'd get up and sort of, stretch, get yourself ready, for the day. And then take your pregame nap in a hotel and play the game that night and then drive home after the game. So it really was a unique situation. And of all the guys that it was the toughest on, it was definitely the trainers. If you can imagine moving equipment back and forth for 2 years and living in one place and playing in another, it was a very unique situation.
With Sean Burke, we know Tobacco Road is a college basketball hotbed. So hockey coming down there, it's going to take some time to gain some traction. And Sean, you're playing in a city that is actually not going to be your home. I can envision in my mind that the Greensboro Coliseum had, I don't know if it still does, but had green seats. And when you'd watch highlights on TV, you'd see a lot of green. Was there investment in the franchise, or could you count the bodies a lot of nights in the crowd?
Well, it was definitely thin in there, especially in that first year. I was gone halfway through the first year, or just after the halfway point. So what I remember early in that season was, yeah, it was very thin. There was excitement on opening night, of course, and I think we sold out. But then it slowly dissipated. And as you mentioned, college basketball is so big there. That was the majority of NASCAR. NASCAR is huge. And so any of those sort of sports took priority. But I do give the organization a lot of credit. Obviously, they've gone on to win a Stanley Cup. They've turned things around and become a fairly strong franchise. But in those first couple of years, it was definitely thin.
I want to get a little more insight on the draft and getting ready for it. Obviously, they're talking about moving it up to early June and doing everything virtually like the NFL did. How is that whole process going to change for yourself, other player personnel, trying to figure out which players they're interested in? How are they going to do all the interviews? Everybody must be kind of, scrambling here last minute if the NHL decides to do it in early June.
Yeah, it's a very unique, interesting situation, interesting time in pro sports. And, for me personally, I don't have a lot to do with our amateur side of the scouting. I do the pro, and, I've been involved with that in the past. I've been at a number of drafts. I know the work that goes into that and the preparation, and it's definitely going to be totally different this year. Our amateur scouting staff, Trevor Timmons, they've worked extremely hard. Those guys are on top of the players. There's not going to be, an advantage maybe for teams right now. Everybody's in the same boat. So it's going to come down to the trust you have in your staff. And I'm very confident in Montreal We've worked hard. Those guys are, they're going to know their list. They're going to know their players. And even if they don't have the same opportunities to interview them, the combine, all those things, I know we'll do a good job.
With Sean Burke, what is life of a pro scout, Sean? If you were to take us through a month, just pick one, January, February, doesn't matter. What does a 30-31-day period of time look for you in terms of time spent at home versus time spent traveling? How many cities do you visit? What are some of the tasks that the layperson may not understand quite as well?
Yeah, well, for me, I'm fairly similar, I would imagine, to most guys. The travel is expensive. I try to see 23 to 25 games a month, which basically means you're at a game every night. I live in Arizona, so there's a team here, obviously, that I can see play home games. And so that may take up, a third of my games during the month. But for the most part, you're on the road 4 to 5 days a week. And, in the last couple of years, I also combined it with the work I did with Team Canada. So the Olympic year, where I was the general manager of the Olympic team, I was also scouting as many games as I could when I was back home. So it's, it's a grind. But again, I have a lot of respect now, much more than I did in the past, for pro scouting, for scouting in general, how hard these guys work, how dedicated a lot of these guys are to their organization, and they don't get a lot of credit for it. So it's been a great experience for me from that standpoint, really understanding better the way a scouting department works. And it is a lot of work. I mean, you do have to be prepared for the 6 or 7 months of a hockey season to be away a lot.
What kinds of conversations, if any, have you had so far about what life may look like for you and fellow scouts once we get through this really unprecedented and weird time in our lives with COVID-19?
Yeah, that's a really good question. We haven't really, and I'm pretty sure it's probably very similar in most organizations. There's so much unknown still. And as we get, I guess, towards hopefully the end of this pandemic, more things will become clear. But there's no doubt that the world has changed, and so within that, there's going to be a lot of changes in the sporting world. And I can't really say right now what I predict to be some of the major changes. But from a scouting standpoint, I've done a lot more video scouting myself since I've been at home, and there's a lot of value in that. But I still think that to really do the job well, you need to have the live viewings. There's nothing like being in a ring and picking up the subtleties in the game and the nuances. So it will be interesting, and I'm sure there's a lot of meetings that are going to happen here pretty quickly as this thing plays itself out.